Blog Talk Radio.
Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger. Diane has been given message from the fifth dimension and higher to bring greater peace and understanding to the lives of others. She lives and experiences these higher dimensions to help our world come into balance and to raise to a higher vibration of love. You can find more information on Diane on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dbachberger1 as she shares great wisdom with the world. Let's welcome your host of Fifth Dimensional Living, Diane Bachberger.
Everyone, this is Diane, and thank you for listening in on Fifth Dimensional Living. What propels a civilization to the next step? Join me over the next hour or so, most likely over an hour, and I will take you to fifth dimension and beyond. I did a show yesterday, and part of it didn't record, so part of the reason why I've come back and am doing this show today is because of that, but also there's some other information that I'd like to reveal. So today's March the 28th, and it's 4 p.m. And the show that I did yesterday was at 11 a.m. So if you'd like to plug in, my name is Diane Bachberger, Fifth Dimensional Living, 11 a.m. And, all that information, Fifth Dimensional Living, on Blog Talk, you will get the show come up. So it was March the 27th, 11 a.m., and my name is Diane Bachberger in Fifth Dimensional Living. I just want to mention that I do have a Facebook page, www.facebook.com/fifthdimensional. And I put it on the chat room, so if you're listening in right now, you may see that. I put the show that I did yesterday on the chat room, too. And if you'd like to find out more information about any of the hosts and hostesses on Earth Angels Radio, please go to www.earthangelsradio.com to find out about the many radio shows. And we also stream live at Impact Player Music Nation, but the show is kind of last minute, so it will not be there or be on the archive. And the book that I use for the animal totems is Animals Speak by Ted Andrews, and you can find that, you know, at bookstores or go on to any internet book place and find it there. I'll start off by talking about what I did talk about on yesterday's show that I did introduce at the beginning of the show, and I will also talk about what I didn't talk about. So I guess that's the best way for me to start it off. I talked about the hippocampus, which is part of the brain that has to do with the limbic system, and it's in the temporal lobes. And it has to do with memory and to do with a lot of different things that have to do with emotion, creativity. And I explained that a lot on yesterday's show, but I may touch a little bit more on that today. And I also mentioned that on Monday I was seeing the extra DNA being activated on Monday in some of humanity. So this DNA that's been laying around for quite a few eons and just sitting there, and everybody says, well, what's this for? Well, it's now unfolding. And I will talk a little bit about that today, a little bit more about it. And yesterday I also talked about the words divergent and paradox. And I did mention the movie also that came out called, Divergent. So when you listen to the show, or if you... I know it looks like a couple people that kind of popped in may have been listening, but it looks like they're gone again. So this reality is a paradox because of polarity. you know, we can be individuals, and also we're really one. So that's, you know, the paradox of this reality, and that we're loving beings, but there's hate and fear here. So I did talk a bit about the Cardinal Cross that's coming up, and I didn't get around to talking about the new moon in Aries. And I was getting the numbers 44 quite often over the last few days. And apparently, moon in Aries starts on the Sunday, this coming Sunday. So that, and then I think it's Eastern time that it starts at 11:44. So, you know, I was seeing 44 there. But also I was seeing something about we've got to get out of the box. We've got to go beyond the box. And I was seeing the box becoming a point, but at the same time, you know, things are, energy is going in, and energy, so energy is converging, and energy is diverging or expanding at the same time, but in different ways. But last week, I was seeing, you know, energy all over the place, and it was almost like four waterfalls coming together and energy going all over the place. And it, I can sort of see, you know, more of what and the reasoning behind this. And I want to mention this today about sabotage and, you know, what that word means and how it relates to the consciousness here. And I guess, you know, all those energies that I was talking about last week, it's about the balance. We're stepping away from that, and we're going into balance. And I think I mentioned on the show yesterday, but it wasn't recorded, about, you know, these are heavy times. People are going into their bodies more and going deep into their core, but they're not used to doing it, and it's frightful and it's depressing to some people. So they're choosing at this point in time to leave. So you may notice that there are people, they seem awfully young, that are passing away. That's part of the reason, but also, too, now that people on a subconscious level are seeing that people are expanding, they want to go back to where they came from. I hear so many people talking about, you know, like, I don't belong here. And it's very frightful for some people because they don't really understand why they've always felt that way. You know, some of the indigo beings have felt that way. You know, they've lived in higher consciousness and were put in a 3D realm, and it's quite a shock to the system. So, you know, those are some of the things I wanted to talk about. And then I think yesterday I also talked about, I was getting messages, you know, like I was talking about the DNA and viruses involved with something to do with the DNA and contagions. And every show that I turned on TV, it was all about that all the time. I was thinking, what the heck? So whatever happens and is going on, you know, especially people in fifth dimensional consciousness, it's reflected in what's going on, you know, within them. And I was seeing things about, you know, death to this way of life and resurrection in other ways. And, you know, there also, I was seeing things about the mother and the child being separated, or children being taken away from their parent or their mother. I was seeing a lot of things like that on television all over the place. So, you know, it led me to believe that there's something going on with that energy. You know, there's shows also about children reappearing, you know, that, and little children that had gone missing. You know, I was seeing something about the virus it represents itself as a virus, but in the expanded consciousness, it has something to do with, as I get sniffly here, something about control, and the virus is controlling in 3D. But you know, we're really light beings, and we're beings that live in love, and we really go beyond time and space. And we're going into the oneness. So, anyway, that's a lot of information to talk about. I also mentioned at the beginning of yesterday's show, I wanted to talk about the porcupine, the horse, and the raven, and how they relate, you know, how I've been seeing them around, and also what they represent. You know, yesterday morning I woke up and I was hearing the raven, and I hadn't really heard the raven for a while. And I, you know, a lot of animals are still in hibernation and things like that. But I was getting a lot of messages about the porcupine and the horse and the seahorse. And I don't know if I'll get around to talk about the seahorse, but I did mention a little bit yesterday when I was talking about the hippocampus, explaining, you know, where it came from and the idea behind it. Let me just see what I can talk about next. I was just seeing the cardinal cross that's coming up, and it's kind of sandwiched between the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse in April. I think it's from the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and it's at its peak on the 23rd of April. But also in that time, there's Uranus-Pluto square, which is April the 21st. And I was seeing this as a gateway to potential. I'm seeing all these gateways, and a lot of gates are opening up. And it you know, in part, it has to do with the opening of the heart within humanity, but it also has to do with the shift that's happening in the hippocampus that I talked about yesterday. And this gateway, the cardinal cross, it shows possibilities and opens us up to greater manifestation. This year, 2014, is the year of manifestation. And I also was talking yesterday about how the hippocampus, which is in the temporal lobe, you know, it also kind of follows almost, when you look at it directly, it kind of, you know, when you draw a line and it comes out, it goes into the forehead and into the top of the bridge of the nose. And so, you know, I was talking about how the throat chakra and the forehead chakra are opening up more, and they're shifting, and how the throat chakra going to open us up to more truth. And the hippocampus in its own way has something to do with that. And the eclipses, especially the lunar eclipse that happens before this, is going to reveal some information. And this, how do I say this? This has been repressed for a long time within us. But as we go into the core, we deal with deeper and deeper issues, and we release the information and release karmic energy. You know, things are becoming more revealed to us. And it has something to do with the ancient olfactory that's connected to the limbic system, but kind of shifted, but it's shifting it back. And it has to do with the sense beyond smelling. It has to do with knowing. And, you know, the chakra kind of opens up in that area between the third eye, the forehead chakra, and the throat chakra. You know, kind of it comes out into the back of the, just where that meaty part of the nose is. And this energy that is opening up for humanity helps connect into the knowing and connects to source. You know, once the upper heart chakra energy center is open, and, you know, the throat chakra speaking truth and the forehead chakra is open, this chakra also opens. I talked about it on a show about 3 weeks to a month ago, and I talked a little bit more about that. But I'm talking a little bit more about it because I didn't talk about it on the show yesterday. So this cardinal cross is opening us up to these things. It's the start of the activation of rewiring. And I was seeing it, you know, like I'm seeing the extra DNA regrouping, restructuring, and it has something to do with this and transfiguration and changes. And it opens us up to possibilities and cosmic truths based on love. And I did talk a little bit yesterday about my dream time changing and it being more connected to people in general, you know, like opening myself up. And I also talked about that on the show yesterday. So, you know, it's important to go back and do this because this is kind of a tie-in show to kind of talk about things I didn't talk about, you know, yesterday. So it's all about right now connection with other people. And I've been talking about that on the other shows. It's not a time. It's a time to stay in the body. It's a time to ascend and expand your energy while in physical. And also, it's not the oneness within ourselves. It's the oneness and connection with everything. So this cardinal cross also opens us up to connection and reconnecting to source, but also to connect to our higher wisdom and reflections of our true self. This is like the greatest truth, true self. And manifest awakening to the higher wisdom. You know, we can, if we choose, manifest to opening up to our truth, our higher wisdom, reflections of ourself, and the cosmic truth based on love. That's who we are. So, you know, make the intention, if you can, to awaken to the higher wisdom. This is a different type of awakening. It's not awakening to the fact that we're in a 3D world and, you know, things are polaric. And, you know, some people wake up and see that and they go, oh, my God, you know, like, what's going on? It's awakening to higher wisdom and beauty, and it's all based on love. And this is how we can change what we manifest around us. So we change what's going on within us, and this is being reflected in what's showing in the cosmos. It's a new world based on love and compassion. You know, I saw this movie last night, and it was called The Purge. And, you know, I really didn't want to see it, but I thought, you know, my son always tells me to watch something that I need to know. And basically, I won't go into the movie, and it was a little bit violent, and I sped it past those parts. But, you know, the ruling class, you know, always tries to do things that they think will help the economy, but they don't do things based on what would help humanity and is done in love and compassion. And when that is done, everything falls apart. You know, the Black Ages or the Dark Ages, which some people are saying, you know, like we're coming into a time or we're coming out of a time that was, you know, maybe not exactly at the Black Ages, but the star systems and everything is, you know, showing similar pattern, and we're coming out of that into greater enlightenment. You know, like they had the Reformation after the Dark Ages. It was this age of enlightenment. Well, you know, all these different stars and planets and things that are showing us right now are just a reflection of what's really happening within us. A lot of people are freaking out about this grand cross, but there's also, you know, the Mars retrograde and some water trine stuff happening at the same time, which creates balance. You know, we're balancing everything right now. Maybe that's why I'm seeing these four corners and I'm seeing gateways, but they're not circular, they're square. So, you know, it's pretty amazing what's going on right now. You know, more people are becoming conscious. By that, I mean that they're opening up their heart chakras and they're becoming aware that who we are and what we are in this 3D reality isn't who we really are. And, you know, when I talk about the hippocampus yesterday, it's triggered by opening of the upper heart, and it's like a domino effect. When we trigger and open up new energy, it expands us, and it's almost like everything starts to open up. It's like a domino effect, and everything connects. But, you know, these are times of expansion, but energy is also converging, like I said at the beginning. So it's important that we stay in our bodies, because we need to be in the body to experience this ascension. I was getting messages about switching of the memory, and I talked a little bit on the show yesterday about, you know, people that go into fifth dimensional consciousness or start to shift consciousness, they almost, it's not that they can't get anything from short-term memory into long-term memory, but it's like the short-term memory may not be what it, you know, what it could be, or it may change, and you may realize that you're forgetting things and stuff like that. But it's just like a rewiring and a switching, because as we go into the knowing and we open ourselves up, like I was talking about, that chakra that comes out of the face, we connect to source, you know, through the crown chakra, through the heart, and all the chakras combine. But it's, we don't have to have, we're not existing in time and space. So switching things into our long-term memory, like what the hippocampus does, it gets rewired. Something happens, and it's going on right now. You know, some people recently I've been hearing, they're kind of getting a fever and they're getting confused, and then they're okay, but it almost feels like they got molten lava in their body. They feel really hot, and it has something to do with the nervous system being rewired. I also talked yesterday about the hippocampus opening up, and you know, people are hearing this high frequency. It has something to do with auditory and clairaudience also, that area, because it takes in light and it's connected to, indirectly, to a lot of different parts of the brain, even to the pineal gland. But it's almost like you may hear this kind of like a revving up in your head. And, if you know, some people have been contacting me and saying, you know, what's going on? I hear this ringing in my head or this high-frequency noise, and they think there's something wrong. But it's just a shifting of frequency. You know, I always talk on the shows about keeping in a high frequency. And, you know, after the upper heart opens up, it activates, you know, like I was saying before, the throat, the forehead, and the crown, and the root to open up different parts of them that activate expansion of energy. And, you know, the frequency shifts, and it vibrates in the head, and the frequency changes in your head. But it happens all over the body. You may feel vibrating all over your body. It has to do with shifting of this physical reality. And when we manifest, and the pineal gland and hippocampus and the root chakra and the crown chakra and the heart chakra all work kind of in tandem, and they manifest things in different ways. You know, yesterday I was talking about how the hippocampus manifests creative beauty and things into the physical form, in physical reality, and it's activated by light. So, and it also connects us into dimensional shifts. You know, I talked on the show yesterday how I've been able to do that for a long time and to be aware of it. So there's a lot of things that opens also you up to, they call them the gifts. And, you know, it has to do with different things to do with, you know, know, clairaudience, clairvoyance, telekinesis, all those different things. So somebody who has a concern about long-term memory, it has to do with time and space and 3D consciousness, okay? So when you live in the moment and you live in fifth dimensional consciousness, love consciousness, in source consciousness, whatever you want to call it, you know, you're living in the moment, but also your information comes to you in that moment. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, I've had things happen where years ago when I was in high school, I came to school and somebody says after Christmas, and they said, did you study for the test? And I said, oh, you know, what what test? Anyway, I had half an hour to study, so I said, the heck with it, I'll just go and wing it, you know. So I wrote this test, and the amazing thing was that the night before I had seen this television show or something, and it didn't really become apparent to me till lately that whatever I need to know in the moment, in that type of consciousness, the information does come to you. And I wrote that exam. Everybody else failed it, and I got like 87% on it, and I hadn't even – it's just because the information was coming to me. And I've heard so many people recently say that when they need to know information, it's just coming to them automatically. You know, it may come in a letter. It may come be a book that falls off the bookshelf. It may be information that's showing up on Facebook, you know. It may be something you see in a television show. It may be something that comes in numbers, you know. It comes in a lot of different ways. I'm just trying to explain, you know, how all this fits into fifth dimensional consciousness. You know, there's this balance with Libra also going on right now. So it does balance that energy in the, you know, the Grand Cross. So there's a lot of really amazing things going on right now. And, you know, a lot of energy's totally changed and shifted. You know, because many people are living in 3D consciousness, things don't look like they're changing that fast. But when you exist and you live in fifth-dimensional consciousness, they can happen very quickly, and things can change rather quickly. So last week was the start of a new energy being activated. The Sun in Aries last week was the start of it. You know, things, how we feel in that oneness and ascension is really getting underway now. And more of humanity is expanding and understanding, okay? So, you know, we in 3D have this paradox and things aren't balanced. But in fifth dimensional consciousness, there is balance. And getting all this information of these viruses that have gone in and changed things and changed the way humanity has been. And, you know, it's almost like not like a type of rewiring in the head, but it changed things, the 3D consciousness, the way, you know, even ego, you know, exists here to help with 3D consciousness. So when you live in fifth dimensional consciousness, ego is like a child that you looking after. And the child comes back to you in fifth dimensional consciousness. Some people may not or may suppress their emotions and compartmentalize. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day that I was doing healing on, and I was seeing, you know, not their energy not flowing. I was seeing it sort of like compartmentalized, almost like little, not little boils, but almost like sacks of something, you know, sacks of, I don't know how to explain it. But, you know, I see things beyond this reality, and it's just because I do live in that fifth-dimensional consciousness. So there's a lot going on, and, you know, it's a lot to explain. It's a lot for someone who is maybe listening to the show and has never listened to it before, to think, oh, you know, that sounds like crazy. But, you know, when I explain a little bit more about the hippocampus, you know, I and how it controls theta waves and things, and how if it's shifting, then you go into kind of a different type of consciousness, and it actually things shift. It's almost like, you know, you have, say you're existing in 3D consciousness, and you know everything's happening, and there's a bypass, and you know your chakras are shut down, and you're not fully expanded. Well, if you meditate, or if you open up, you know, your upper heart chakra, things start to shift within you, and these theta waves actually have a different type of pulse. And, you know, that's why it's important right now, because this is really changing. It has to do with the vision and the neurons and sleep and awakening, and it's part of the limbic system. And also, part of it holds memory, but it at a cellular level also, but it controls the memory that goes into the cells. You know, people, you've heard about, you know, the cells holding memory or the heart holding memory. You know, I was also talking about, you know, this Perseus horse yesterday, which hippocampus means seahorse, but there was stuff that I was seeing that had to do with the hippocampus in the brain correlates with the Perseus, constellation that's out in the sky. And, you know, whatever happens within us or is part of us is a part of the greater whole in the larger picture, too. So, you know, they've been talking recently about this pulse coming from that constellation, and they can't explain it. They think it might be a black hole. And I think it was in January they discovered some type of, I don't know if it's a nebula or whatever it is in there. And you know, I talked about it in the show a few weeks ago. And it happened around the beginning of January. Somebody noticed this, and it was a big change. And it's still really showing. So it was like really light-filled. So to do with taking in light within the body too, when you you know, see things in fifth dimensional consciousness, whatever happens outside of us happens within us. And you know, the pineal gland is also doing things too, but I've talked about that on other shows, so I won't concentrate on that. So I was talking about the box that keeps us here, and I was seeing something to do with the Perseus gateway too. There's a gateway, and I may talk about that a little bit later. So, you know, we've talked about memory, we've talked about long-term memory, and keying into source and knowing, and you know, just the stuff that's happening right now. I was getting a lot of things about memory, the memory of the child against us, or taking that memory away from us so we don't connect to that child. It just means something to do with the magic within us, the manifestation ability within, you know, that part of us, and the hippocampus is that part. Like I was saying, we're converging and diverging at the same time, and there's a point that I'm seeing at the middle of the globe. It's not, we're coming out of that box, our energy is changing. So, you know, it's pretty amazing, but it's also seeing it beyond this reality. We're more alike than anybody knows, but people see each other as separate. And I was, you know, talking about the show yesterday, Divergence, and how the movie, how, you know, this intelligence, when you go fully into intellect and don't think with emotion, and, you know, think about other people and don't exist with love, then it distorts things, okay? So it's important that we be conscious of that part of ourselves and how we're really connected to other people. And we're really beings of love. And we're triggered by light, just like these different parts of us are triggered by light. Let me just see if there's something else I wanted to talk about. It's a little bit, it's hard to kind of cram all that information, but I'm attempting it. We're opening ourselves up to potential. We're opening ourselves up to possibilities. We're opening ourselves up and learning from what we've experienced in 3D. So it's not, don't think of it as a loss. It's, learning that we do want to be who we are. And it's all about connecting to the higher wisdom, So I'm going to talk a little bit, just briefly, about, in fifth-dimensional consciousness, somebody that exists in fifth-dimensional consciousness is in perpetual theta. As a child, and I'm talking about this as a child again, when you're a child, your theta waves pretty much exist all the time, especially as an infant, okay? And so this hippocampus, the seahorse, the Pegasus, and they talk about it in Revelation. I think it was 1911. And this constellation right now is strong in the sky till the end of March. And the hippocampus, like I was saying, correlates with, of creation, but also manifestation, the feminine energy that flows. Within some people, I don't see that energy flowing. But with people that have opened their hearts and are expanding, I see that energy, really starting to thrive. And, it's contained within us. But it's even reflected in our myths. When you think about it, the hippocampus is Pegasus. They've represented it as Pegasus, but like a seahorse. And apparently Pegasus was the child of Poseidon. Has to do with water. And the nine muses were really connected with, that were daughters of Mimosin, that had to do with the goddess of memory. These daughters were really connected to this energy of the white horse or the seahorse, Pegasus energy. It all has to do with things that have to do with creativity. And I talked about that on the show yesterday, too. So keying into the motion of the limbic system, it transmutes creativity into the physical realm. So this is really important. Some people are writers. Some people like to draw. Some people like to be out in nature. And I think something to do with the hippocampus has to do with even rhythm within you and the rhythm of the pulse of the earth and the pulse of the universe, pulse of source, pulse of energy and life. And also, so when we have more theta, it's like our dream and our wake time become less demarcated. There's less of that polaric kind of thing. And the subconscious becomes less, becomes conscious. And so you're more aware of that feminine aspect of yourself. And there's more flow. And, I've talked about this on many shows before. So it's all about, the hippocampus does so much. It's all about using that creative ability and manifestation ability that we have, because we're all creator beings. We're all part of that greater whole. I was talking too yesterday about the Kundalini also being, root and manifestation. And this, this new moon that's coming up in Aries triggers this within us, and things start to align. So people may feel pressure on the side of their heads in the temporal lobes, And, you know, I also talked yesterday about Alzheimer's and how, you know, this shows the first place Alzheimer's shows up and problems with the memory with people in 3D has to do with, you know, the memory. And it's a very sensitive part, okay? And now they're finding coconut oil has something to do with blocking the energy that causes plaque there. It just loosens it up. It's not a cure, but apparently I heard, I've been given messages that soon that information will be coming to us. I also talked on the show yesterday about a guy having temporal lobe seizures. And anyway, so there's a lot of things. You know, also I talk about people that had brain injuries, but what happens, sometimes when it affects the memory, there's like a jump start put in there and people are able to connect the source easier. So it's all about reconnecting in a different way. So what we have or what has been there in the way things have worked is changing. And so big things are happening with the brain. And, you know, I want to talk, I did talk yesterday on the show about the horse, but for some reason, you know, the horse didn't get taped. And it had something really important to do with that, you know, the root and kundalini energy and humanity coming out of the darkness and the energy of the horse surging us forwards, okay? And I already talked about the bridge of the nose stuff, and this is really going to be starting to happen, especially around April the 21st and when, you know, the 22nd, 23rd. And it's even going, you know, it started in January, a little bit before that, but it's going on till, you know, July 18th. So from January 16th to July 18th, there's a lot of really big energy things going on. So it's all about new consciousness, new age, going into the age of Aquarius and things being triggered, okay? So I hope that I explained that a little bit. You know, the Sun in Aries last week was the start. And now we're going, you know, we're really starting to go into that alignment to get us in Uranus-Pluto square, the fifth one, which is going to open us up to truth. And this is a real important thing because, you know, you'll find people will be starting to talk to you and they won't be able to lie. They'll just say what's on their mind. And that's why I'm talking about these things. So, you know, people aren't shocked and they're not trying to figure out what was happening. This new moon that's on Sunday, and it's conjuncting with Uranus and square and Jupiter and square Pluto, and it's moving through Aries. You know, some people aren't going to like this energy, like I said at the beginning of the show. They're wanting to leave. And, you know, ascension's speeding up and things are stepping up and energy is getting more intense. So it's all about, you know, being in your body and being in the flow and just going with it. And relaxing and not overdoing it. You know, a lot of people I'm seeing, if they don't have to do extra things or do too much things that are physical, but being in the body at the same time, it's more important to get out in nature. It's not so important to do really hard physical labor right now, but for some people that want to do it, it's fine. But just know that if you're going to meditate, do the type of meditation that you're aware of your body and being in your body. You know, the moon was in Pisces yesterday, and now it's going into Aries, which it has a lot of fire and a lot of, you know, truth coming forward. And it's important to open ourselves up to be that, to feel that, and to be where we have to be, which is in our body. And when we do a lot of the clearing, like I've talked about on the show for over 2 years, the inner journey and looking at things and releasing things that we don't have to hold on to, that hold us in the pain body and hold us in 3D, and take us away from our heart. It's important that we do that, okay? You know, I was seeing the number 23 as being really important in April, but also 21, 22, and 23. And I've been seeing a lot of 44s, which are multiples of, the 22 is multiples of 44. So you'll find yourself, and this is the way I'm seeing things, you'll be with people that are a reflection of what you have with inside of you. So if you have a lot of pain within you, you're going to get more of it if you manifest that, if you're thinking that. So it's important that you think about things that are important to you and be loving and caring, and that they will be reflected around you. Now, some people are wanting to go back to where they came from. It's all about balancing our lives. And, you know, today Venus trines Mars and squares Saturn. So it's a little bit kind of a, not the calm before the storm, but energy that allows us to regroup. You know, the Pegasus constellation is in bloom right now. I'm seeing it in bloom. It's like opening up. And this cross was triggered by the full moon, you know, the last full moon. And the new moon is coming up. These gateways are reflections of what's going on within us. So we're opening ourselves up. So all these gateways are opening up because what's going on within us is opening up. Before I go on anymore, I noticed that some people called, but they, you know, probably thought I wasn't going to talk to them. But I wanted to clarify a lot of this stuff before I went on and talked about things that were a little less intense. But the number here is 646-200-4169 if you'd like to call in and ask any questions or have anything you'd like to ask about. You know, this, what do you call it, hippocampus is ignited by light. And when we open up our upper heart and we expand our energy, you know, little, almost like little light reflectors are activated and we take in more light. And, you know, that's why this extra DNA is being activated. And we're starting, you know, there's been a restructuring and these things are happening. This Pegasus constellation and the gateway, there is a gateway. It's like, I think, four different things, planets lined up or stars lined up. It's opening up. It's a gateway. And it's some people say that it's, you know, representative of heaven opening up. But heaven is really here. We just don't see it. And we have the beauty in here. So this white horse, the horse of truth and faithfulness, is reflecting what we have within us, speaking truth. And this is really important. Apparently there's this 51 peg planet in the constellation Pegasus in the zodiac sign Aquarius that they've recently discovered too. So, but there's some interesting information that's going to be revealed in the next few eclipses because they're almost like, you know, being covered, things being covered and then being revealed. And that's what it's the reflection of. The hippocampus may have represented memory, but it also has ancient memory and things that get revealed to us because in some ways it's a way of we connect with Source. You know, I have some, I wrote a couple of notes because I just wanted to make sure I knew what I wanted to talk about today, but I usually don't do that. I just speak. The Mimosen, the goddess of memory, she had nine daughters, and they reflect that creative feminine part of us. But those things are stepping forward right now. And this feminine energy is what has been suppressed for so long. It's a gift from Source. It's a gift from God that, you know, we're aware that we have this, but we're opening ourselves up to knowing. This is a sign. And You know, somebody was saying that these stars are converging. Well, there's something going on with the globular cluster M15. It's about 37,000 light years away. You know, the number 51 and the number 37 are magical numbers, and I've talked about it on the show before, too. The limbic system, it has to do with emotion. It has to do, in some ways, with memory and maybe a little bit to do with control. But it's also activated with light through the pineal gland, too. So, you know, people that have done meditation and how sometimes it's activated, this hippocampus, is, you know, that you've heard about people swirling or breathing. They're activating that part of the brain. And it gives a sensation of love, light, peace, tranquility, bliss. And it's opiate-like. It's the neurotransmitters are stimulated. Anyway, there's supposedly 9 bright stars that but some of them can't be seen. The ones that can be seen are about 7 of them, and they represent the names of the waves of the brain. The hypergamma and the lambda, epsilon. You know, epsilon is a state of consciousness that yogis achieve, and it's when doctors measure it's like suspended animation. They can't detect any respirations or heartbeat. And, you know, this is shifting consciousness. It can control that. So it's pretty amazing what, you know, everything that goes on. And I think I talked yesterday, too, about when people go through near-death experiences, they experience, you know, a flood of memory because something to do with the hippocampus is activated also. So, you know, please go back to the show I did yesterday. I just really wanted to explain this and take the time. But to kind of correlate that with the show yesterday. So when you listen to the show and then come back and listen to this show, it'll make a lot more sense to you. You know, it's the frequency that you're hearing when I talk about going into higher frequency. It's ignited within the body. The Aries ignition energy that's going to be happening with Sunday is really going to connect it. Last week I was talking about my computer crashing and on last week's show on the 20th at 11 a.m. and the disconnection and the reconnection. And it's all about the reconnection to source for many people. I was seeing that and the flood of memory connected to emotion. You know, I noticed a lot of people have been feeling really emotional because they haven't acknowledged their emotions, and these things are opening up to them now. So it's important that you go deep, look at your emotions, release them, do breathing exercise, and see yourself as part of the whole, because separation's really an illusion, okay, because we're really part of the greater whole. And, you know, that truth, we will see that truth when we expand our energy. So it's just, you know, put out an intention that you want to expand your consciousness, and it will naturally happen. It's pretty interesting what's going on right now. I'm going to talk about, like I said, I would talk about the other day or yesterday about animals and how they have to do with what's going on right now. I talked about the horse, but I also talked about the hedgehog, or the porcupine, not the hedgehog. You know, they're not the same animal. I'm using the book Animals Speak by Ted Anders, and it's on page 299. The porcupine keynote renewed sense of wonder. You know, I was talking about that child being taken away and getting the renewed sense of wonder by that creativity and that theta within yourself and expanding yourself. The cycle of power is autumn. Our spring is more like an autumn right now. You know, porcupines are fascinating animals that are often misunderstood. And this is what Ted Andrews writes. The porcupine is a member of the rodent family. It's sometimes called the hedgehog, but this is a mistake. And, you know, they're good-natured, and they shuffle around on their own pace. They look clumsy and slow on the ground, and they're excellent climbers. And actually, they can climb to 50 to 60 feet. The legs are short but strong, and they have a unique ability to use and to test the strength of the limbs they climb upon. Porcupines live in arboreal areas, mostly in pine forests, and they eat barks of various trees and evergreens. They enjoy blossoms, young leaves, and water lilies. You know, they have hollow quills, and so they can go in the water and they actually float. So that's why they like to go and eat the water lilies. They crave salt, need anything that has the taint flavor of salt. Individuals of this totem may need to watch the salt intake. So, you know, I was seeing that, you know, being like the child, being carefree, but at the same time, you know, having to be, to not indulge. And he said he saw the porcupine in the wild in northern Ontario, Canada, and he portaged his canoe and came to the next stage of the river, and the porcupine was on its edge, and it was eating water lilies. So, you know, it's a balance of that energy, you know, the child and the feminine energy. It's really good energy right now. It looked curious and amused and resumed its feeding, more fascinated by lilies. It reflects things about the personality, because, you know, animals in fifth-dimensional consciousness are reflections of us. You know, we're all connected. And it has a good nature, and it enjoys everything and feels joy in everything it does. And it has a strong sense of curiosity and seems amazed and filled with wonder at most things. And this is the same quality the porcupine must awaken in those at the habit as a totem. So it's time right now where humanity must look at themselves and, you know, not be caught up in time and space and in that pain body, to release a lot of that and see that quality within themselves and awaken. You know, it says here they have poor insight or eyesight. I mean, it remains extremely curious and not overly cautious in response to its visual limitation. You know, so it's important. You know, it represents kind of not being awake and having a childlike innocence and awakening. And, you know, has quills. And he has them all over his body except the underside, belly, and the tail, and the face. And they're controlled by a layer of muscle. And they can be made to lie flat or straight up. When the animal's disturbed or threatened, they stand up. The quills are filled with air, and it makes them buoyant in water, and reflects the ability of the porcupine to swim and move in emotional areas. So these are great emotional times right now, where we're going within and looking at our emotions. The porcupine does not shoot its quills. When threatened, the quills stand up to protect its face. It will lower it between the front legs so the quills guard it. The quills are loosely attached and easily discarded, and it will lash with its tail, usually aiming the predator's head. If it hits, the quills are left. There's no venom, but they do have barbs, and they penetrate the skin of an opponent, and the barbs expand. So, ouch! Each, you know, so it's important, you know, that we release our emotion, we release our pain. You know, in a way, this porcupine represents releasing things from within and letting them go without. You know, each movement of the predator then causes the quill to work in deeper. It's impossible for other animals to remove them. So the porcupine's greatest predator is a fisher, a member of the weasel family. And it says that these fishers, everybody thought they flipped them, but they actually keep biting them on the nose and face until it dies. So they kind of rip their faces to pieces. You know, and basically, you know, when humanity has been asleep, they've not been aware. You know, they've taken a brunt of a lot of crap from people, you know. It's important that we speak our truth and we stand up for ourselves in some ways, but in a peaceful way, like these porcupines. But, you know, they are using their quills. It says cougars are also successful on preying on them, and they have learned the knack of flipping it onto its back and exposing the belly. And it says that because of this, cougars should be studied to people that have the porcupine totem. And they live in hollow logs, caves, and holes. And in the winter, they will spend a lot of time in trees. It's easy for them to climb, for them to shuffle around through the snow. And porcupines are usually born one at a time, though occasionally there are twins. They mate in the autumn, and the young are born about 7 months later. Only the mother raises the young. Porcupines can live to be anywhere between 9 and 15 years. You know, as the young gets older, they often been seen standing upon their hind legs and rocking to and fro, waving their paws. This is a rhythmic exercise. When observed, it looks very much like the dance, and the porcupines can help us come into a new rhythm in the dance of life, one that will awaken wonder. Dance is also an avenue of pure enjoyment that anyone with porcupine totem could find a great pleasure and relaxation in. You know, porcupines are also susceptible to sniffles. This is the flu-like disease that affects animals. It's usually a result of lack of nutrients. Anyone with a porcupine totem should be careful to have a diet rich in nutrients and vitamins, especially eating green vegetables, which will be beneficial to the health. As a porcupine is a herbivore, to find your energy weakened or coming down with a cold, flu-like symptoms, check your diet. They have a knack for sticking to people sharply and intensely if aggravated. They're talking about porcupine people. They have a knack for saying or doing that will cause the most hurt for the longest time, like the quill barb working deeper in the skin. It's important that we release energy and we release our emotions and we release our quills because we really don't need them. You know, when the porcupine shows up, take a look at your life. Are you allowing other people's opinions to prevent you from exploring activities that would otherwise be fun and enjoyable? Do you have recreation time in your life? Are you overly sensitive to the barbs of others? You know, I'm hearing so much about so many people lately that are putting up with it in the barbs of people and even what people around them are doing. As a whole, humanity has done this. You know, it's important that we create beauty and love around us, and we see it around us. So we want more of what we do want, okay? Are your barbs inappropriate? Are you taking joy from others? Are you still allowing the barbs from long ago to aggravate you and sting you? Sometimes it's necessary to remove the old barbs, no matter how painful. And they do not fester and poison the system. Porcupines, can be really toxic to be... have that much animosity and anger. You know, porcupines can teach you how to resist the barbs of others. They can teach you how to enjoy life and maintain a sense of wonder about it in spite of negative conditions. They can show you how to shuffle along without too much seriousness and still achieve. They can teach you how to protect the inner child from all its life barbs and to show you the strength and your vulnerability. You know, many people are vulnerable out there, you know, especially people that have been living in higher consciousness but not having integrated their black light energy. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to crash my thing, but this computer does strange things sometimes. I'm trying to get my computer back online, but, you know, sometimes it just doesn't want to do what it wants. It does what it wants to do. I guess I could talk about... I was seeing the raven, hearing the raven. How does this have to do with what's going on right now? It's on 187 of Animal Speak by Ted Andrews and Keynote, Magic, Shape, Shifting, and Creation. And these are creative times. The cycle of power, winter solstice, the raven is one of the birds that has a tremendous amount of lore and mythology surrounding it and often contradictory. It is a bird of birth and death and a bird of mysticism and magic. In the Near East, the raven was considered unclean because it was scavenger. And it's one of the foods listed as forbidden in the Bible. The raven is one of the birds that Noah sent out after flood but did not return. On the other hand, it is also what fed the prophet Elijah, you know, in the Bible. In the Scandinavian lore, the raven played a significant role. The god, Norse god Odin, had a pair of ravens who were his messengers, and their name were Hugin, Thought, and Munin, Memory. So there's memory again. mind, memory, and thought, like I was talking about yesterday. So Odin was thought, was known to shapeshift as a raven himself. This reflects the idea of a raven being a messenger of the great spiritual realm. The magic, that creative ability within humanity is also reflected in the raven, okay? And it has a history of being an omen during the Middle Ages. You know, I was talking about the Dark Ages and Middle Ages, believed to foretell a death and the outcome of battle. It was even taught to the folk and Christian communities that the wicked priests became ravens when they died. Even today, some old-timers tell you how you can expect hot weather when a raven is seen facing a clouded sky. So it's a member of the family that crows belong to and magpies. And the only difference it says here is the size. And it could be beneficial to study the information on the crow for anyone who has the raven as a totem. Much of the same information that applies to one applies to the other. It's a matter of degree. You know, I've had animals come to my door and knock on the door. And one time I went to the door and there was a raven sitting there that was giving me a look. And I've had dogs come to the door. It's like they key into my energy. And but they're also representative aspects of ourselves, that magical part of ourselves. You know, they fly. You know, they reflect light and dark. Rather than repeat this information here, I'd like to give you some information not generally associated with the crow itself. And it says it has a wealth of myths and lore surrounding it in many ways. It can be compared to the coyote tales of Indian plains and the bushman tales of the mantis and other societies, excuse me, which the animal plays both a significant and yet confusing role. The coyote was both a trickster and wise being, fool and a wise one. This is true of the mantis and the tales of the calamari bushman. In the Pacific Northwest, the raven has the same aura about him. In the Pacific Northwest, the raven brought forth life and order. Raven stole the sun shine or sunlight from one who would keep the world in darkness. So, you know, I'm hearing, you know, the darkness and the dark light being integrated in many people. You know, nothing would exist without raven. Raven is honored in art and totem poles, reflecting the tales and mysticism that have developed around it. With raven, human and animal spirits intermingle and become one. These are times of us realizing who we really are and the oneness that we have with source and with love. This is reflected in its deep, shiny black, you know, feathers. In the blackness, everything mingles until it's drawn out into the light. Because of this, the raven can help you shape-shift your life or your being. Raven has a knowledge of how to become other animals and how to speak their language. You know, it's the magic. The bird holds the magic of humanity. It's representative of that. So, you know, I was talking about yesterday how I had this dream and how I just woke up or kind of became aware that I was in this dream, but it was dark and I was walking down the stairs, but I seemed to know where I was going, and I walked into the light, and it was beautiful. It kind of makes me think of that. But it's all about balancing the dark light energy, the black light energy, and the light we have within us. Because, you know, aspects of ourselves are reflected in what we create around us. You know, it says in the Northwest, there are tales of Kalawaki Indians who offered afterbirth of male newborns to ravens so when they grew up they would understand their cries. Raven can teach you to understand the language of animals. You know, I've heard, you know, how Solomon could understand what animals said. There's been times where I've gone into eternal time and I've taken people with me and animals have gone by and they're talking, but they sound, people have heard them, it sounds like they're speaking English, but they're really opening that aspect of themselves that has understanding. So it's almost like telepathy. But I'm pulling them out of time and space. They're able to do that. And they're still shaking their heads. So they have this type of, they use tools. It's like they crack nuts. They use stones to throw and hit nuts, and they drop them. And they can't be intimidated by others. And they're very fast and wary, and because of this, they're easy prey. They're not easy prey for other animals and birds. You know, this implies an ability to teach you how to stir the magic of life without fear. These are times that we must live in love and not live in fear, and live in the flow and just relax and just let it go. They are known for their amorous behavior reflecting the strong creative life force into which they have access. The creative life force can be used to work the magic of the spiritual laws upon the physical plane. It can be used to go into the void and create energies to manifest what you need most. You know, when all, to manifest in the physical, you know, the root chakra must be open, hippocampus, and the open heart. You know, some people can manifest when they have the root chakra open, but to actually connect with source, there has to be higher chakras open, like the upper heart, okay? It has nothing to do with the third eye or being psychic. That's keying into other people and reading other people. This type of magic that I'm talking about, or ability, or whatever you want to call it, is keying and into knowing. And I explained it at the beginning of the show. So, you know, please go back and listen to the beginning of the show and listen to the show I did yesterday. So if Raven comes into your life, expect magic. Somewhere in your life, magic is at play. So this is a really magical time, because I've heard these Ravens so much and they're talking to me. Raven activates the energy and the magic, linking it to your will and intention. Raven speaks of opportunity to become the magician or the enchantress of your life. Each of us has a magician within, and it's Raven which can show us how to bring that part of out of the dark into the light. Raven speaks of messages from the spirit realms that can shape-shift your life dramatically. Raven teaches how to take what is uniform and give it form that you wish, unformed, and give it form you wish. So these are times that we're recreating. The winter solstice and winter season is a time of the greatest power for those with the Raven as a totem. The solstice is the shortest day of the year. So we've gone beyond that now. You know, I was talking last week about seeing the balance, you know, the seeing the balance of energy between dark and light. This is what the Raven does also. The sun shines at least on this day. This is the darkest. From that day forth, the light shines a little more each day. This is symbolic of the influence of the Raven. It teaches how to go into the dark and bring forth the light. With each trip, we can develop the ability to bring more light out into creation. So this is pretty amazing stuff that, you know, we're opening ourselves up more to the light. I talked about the porcupine and the Raven. Now I'm going to talk about the horse. So I might as well do that too and try to get it all in one full swoop. Animals Speak by Ted Andrews on 281. Horse, keynote, travel, power, and freedom. Cycle power year-round. The horse is rich in lore and mythology, and the entire book could be written on the significance of the horse alone, for no one single animal has contributed more to the spread of civilization than the horse. It has been associated with both burial rites and birth with animals, but also, you know, with individuals riding into and out of the world beyond. The Norse god Odin rode upon an eight-legged steed. In the Hindu tradition, the chariot of Surya, the sun goddess, pulled by the stallions, and the chariot of Apollo in the Greek mythology. And in Chinese astrology, the horse is associated with appeal and persuasion. Horses are symbols of freedom, sometimes without the proper restraints. Horse people in Chinese astrology are friendly and adventurous, and they can be very emotional. You know, that, like I was saying, the hippocampus has something to do with emotion, and it has to do with memory. So it holds, you know, in time and space, it holds in emotional energy. And some of that, there's distortion, and I think I talked about it on the show yesterday. You know, there's distortion in memory, because memory can be distorted with emotion, with pain emotion especially. So it's important that we look within ourselves and look at that emotion. It doesn't matter that it be the true reality or what actually happened. You know, the things in the past, when we deal with them, we can release them, and we can exist in the moment and find beauty and love in that moment. It says, before the horse domestication, the distances between people and societies was great and there was little interaction. It served humanity in travel and war, in our culture and other major areas of life. Today, the horse is limited most to recreation and agriculture, but its energy is expansive. Because of it, the world has been brought closer together. You know, more people are using horses now, too, again, because, you know, of fossil fuels and that sort of thing. The horse enables people to explore and find freedom from the constraints of their own communities. This enables them to travel and thus discover the multiplicity of its powers. And horses have a great appeal to most people, and we are fascinated by them. And riding one raises us above the mundane and renews our fascination. You know, some people feel great power. This is a time of power, you know, like the Aries, the god, the new moon coming up, you know, the horse, riding the horse. And, you know, Perseus and Pegasus, that energy, you know, and hippocampus, the horse within. It looks like a seahorse. It's white. And, you know, the energy of that and the memory has some type of energy, pulsating energy that I've talked about. Horses are given powers as a divination. More than one legend speaks of the clairvoyance of horses and their ability to recognize these involved in magic. Now think about clairaudience. Where does that come from? It comes from the aspect and the energy within, you know, that limbic system, but in the degree that it's rewired and opened. And we're connecting to source with that way. And when I first started to, well, I've been clairaudient all my life, but it used to come out of my mouth without awareness. It would just, I would say things and they would come true, and some of them weren't so great things. And it was distressing for me. And now I decided to connect with it and, you know, have control over it and be able to express myself and not connect with it in a negative emotional way. These horses represent complex energy, but it's about movement and travel, and it has to do with strength, okay? So if you have the horse as your totem, it's all about strength. And it's saying, you know, the taming of a stallion will be the taming of sexuality and dangerous emotions. When we live in fifth dimensional consciousness, we acknowledge our emotions, we look at them, and we don't hold them within us, and there's balance in the emotion. We don't have emotional extremes. But, you know, actually acknowledging your emotions and looking at them is very, very healthy, and releasing them. Or talking to people. You know, I was talking to somebody just today, and I said, they asked me a question, and I said, I don't know how to answer that question, because no matter which way I answer it, you're not happy. And I said, you know, I'd rather not, you know, do that. And I said, really, I, in some ways, you know, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just talk to you in a friendly sort of way and not be someone that always has, you know, people asking and stuff. So I expressed myself, and I said that I really don't like doing it all the time, and that's not who I am, okay? Anyway, you know, sometimes you have to do that, because all of a sudden you just have everybody doing that. So it's riding, plowing, pulling. The horse serves as a variety of functions. To understand your own particular horse totem, try to determine which kind it is. Horses, like dogs, are bred today for specific purposes, and determine what you define the purpose of it within your life. Take your totem and examine it. So what's the color? What's the color of the horse? Is it white? Is it strength? Does it run? Is it something that takes you somewhere? You see yourself riding it? If a horse has shown up in your life, it's time to examine aspects of travel and freedom. Are you seeing yourself as constrained? Are you going in the flow? Do you need to move on or allow others to move on? These are times when what we feel within ourselves is reflected around us. And, you know, it's time of great energy, time of great change. And we can really shift the way things are here right now. You know, I talk about it at the show, what propels civilization into the next step. You know, what does propel a civilization into the next step? It's the oneness as a whole and living our true self. And we're really stepping up into that right now. And are you honoring what this civilization has given you? Horus brings with it journeys, new journeys. We're on new journeys now. And it will teach you how to ride into new directions to awaken and discover your freedom and power. And this is what, you know, humanity is really doing right now. I'm just going to check the chat room. I didn't really see anybody asking any questions, but it's always good to check it. And, you know, I was seeing, you know, I was talking about viruses affecting people and things, systems crashing and things starting up. But, you know, the true original energy from source is who we truly are. It's not what's been piggybacked, you know, onto the 3D consciousness. You know, I went, I see so many young people now being not very vital and, you know, kind of feeling sorry for themselves and holding on to some really not great energy. Well, I went to a party about a week ago, and it was a 90-year-old's party, and he was having more fun than anybody I know, you know. And I was with all these people, and he was dancing, and I had a lot of fun. So it's not your age. It's not how much money you have. It has to do with life, enjoying life, and being who you really are, and enjoying every moment. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, I've got to juice my smoothie and, you know, eat all this good food. And, you know, sometimes it's okay, you know, just to eat whatever you want to eat. And, you know, a lot of people eat too much, actually. We don't really need to eat as much as we do eat. But, you know, enjoying whatever you do is important, you know, and being in your body and enjoying who you are and being aware of who you are, it's okay. It has nothing to do with ego. It has to do with self-love and loving yourself. You know, last night I was seeing all these beautiful huge snowflakes. They're like maybe 2 or 3 inches big. And I was doing some healing work on the phone with people last night. I haven't done that in a long time. And it was pretty exciting and pretty interesting. And just seeing people change from a very negative aspect to really positive and having, you know, more hope and being happy and, you know, that sort of thing. But also I was, you know, looking up at the sky and contemplating how amazing life is and feeling those snowflakes on my face and just being there in silence. You know, it's important that we get out in nature. It's important that we do and the things we love. You know, I write and I'm alone a lot, but I do work. I'm a bit of an introvert. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you're not. But I really am. I need to have time to myself. But I love to be out in nature. And it's, you know, doesn't mean that the world within my head is more important to me. It just means that I gain energy and strength from that, okay? Profound intelligence doesn't come from the mind and memory. They're fleeting. Profound energy comes in truth from the divine heart, connection to source. And that's what I do, you know? It's important to more than ever to be in higher frequency, and things that seem to be harsh are just indications of the shift. The things we see changing around us, they seem to be happening fast. But, you know, I was saying that if people didn't do a lot of the work before February the 18th, it was going to be coming around and happening anyway, because, you know, more than 50% of humanity are going through the shift right now. Things that appear to be strong and loving may not be. People know how to put on a good front, you know. And in the higher frequency, we are more open to truth in the moment. So we're having those gateways opening up for us, like I talked about. I was going to talk about red aventurine, meaning a type of stone, seeing how it relates to, I was seeing that too. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. It's a stone of manifestation through action. These are times of great manifestation. It draws upon the elements of earth and fire. And that's what I'm seeing right now. You know, earth signs, fire signs, to increase the flow of prana or life force, revitalizing the physical body and focusing its energy to get things done. You know, grounding yourself to the earth, connecting to the earth, being in your body. There are all ways to do that. It boosts vitality and mental alertness. You know, that has something to do with the hippocampus too. You know, theta makes you kind of in an altered state. Anyway. It's where it clicks in and you go from one state to the other, like there's many different states of consciousness, okay? And not types of consciousness, states. So, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I go through a stage where I'm neither asleep or awake, and then stages in between that where I do different things. So the desire to take on life's challenges, you know, many people are finally going within their body, and they're depressed because they don't understand how to be in their body. They think it's, ooh, this is great when I go to other realms and I do all this stuff, but, you know, being in the body for some people and experiencing and releasing a lot of that pain isn't that great for them. But apparently this helps with this challenge, and with determination and perseverance. And it also inspires creativity and sexuality. That has, you know, that creativity within the hippocampus with those nine sisters that have the different, to do with the different arts and the different sciences, and the creative flow from knowing and from source that renews excitement and confidence and brings one's project goals and desires into reality. You know, it's all about bringing things and manifesting things into reality in the hippocampus, okay, into the physical world. Red aventurine is a remarkable crystal for helping one choose their highest path. So what is your highest path? What is your discernment? Do you have the ability to perceive which plans and ideas are the best to follow? You know, when you open up that chakra that's, you know, around the nose area, it opens you up into knowing and the best possibilities, the best choices. You know, it's almost like a little cogwheel, and it has an opening. It's like a gateway that you see through, and you know what is the best. This is what I see and how I see it. So it allows one to see the self and overcome ego. It's not about overcoming ego. It's about accepting ego, but ego changes when you shift consciousness. You go into fifth-dimensional consciousness. You see it as the child, and you nurture the child. You open yourself up, and, you know, it prevents better judgment. So, anyway, when you use the step of stone, apparently it helps you open that up too. So I'm seeing it connected to the hippocampus, and that was missed on the show yesterday because I was talking about this, and lends assurance to those who fear commitment, choose a path and follow through. So you can, you know, some people say, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. My daughter was watching Honey Boo Boo last night, and I was, you know, I said, okay, I'll go watch it. I haven't watched it all this year, but I watched it last night. And what the thing was, they're all making these New Year's resolutions, and none of them could do it. But Honey said she was really determined. She said, I'm going to find a new hobby because I'm not doing the pageants anymore. But she was doing this hula hoop, like the circle. And, you know, the spinning I was talking about, you know, to get yourself in an altered consciousness to do the spinning thing, right? But, you know, Honey Boo Boo, she's probably in higher consciousness just by doing that. That's a joke. But it takes commitment to choose a path. And she didn't give up, okay? And everybody else didn't follow through, but she did. So I thought it was kind of cute. I'm just thinking about that now. It encourages self-forgiveness and the ability to laugh at one's mistakes, okay? So you feel good about yourself when you follow through and you see where you should go. You know, a lot of people call up psychics to ask. Well, when you open up this aspect of yourself into knowing, you know, the possibilities are there and you go for it and you follow through with it. It says adventuring is a variety of crystal characterized by bright inclusions of mica or other minerals that give shimmering or glistening effect to the stone, referring to it as adventurescence. Especially notable when tumbled or polished, its name is derived from the Italian aventure or alla ventura, meaning by chance. So it means more than by chance. And it refers to the Italian glass in the 1700s produced when a worker accidentally dropped metal filings into a vat of melting glass. Once cooled, the result was pleasing with its randomly spaced iridescent sparkles, and it was used to make jewelry and other items. The name aventurine was later used to the natural stone, which looks like the industrial product. It's most commonly green, though it also forms in blue to reddish brown, dusty purple. I have some dusty purple stuff. Orange or peach, yellow, and silver gray. It's mostly translucent and often banded, but an overabundance of included mineral may render it opaque. The color of green aventurine comes from the fuchsite particles within the quartz, while shades of red, brown, and orange are attributed to hematite or goldsite inclusions. Peach and yellow aventurine include pyrite and their mica crystals. Blue adventuring contains inclusions of dumortierite, while the purple variety is colored by lipidolite. Adventurine is also referred as adventurine, adventurine crystal, and Indian jade. It's not used in only variety forms for metaphysical purpose. So it says it's not only used in all these different forms for metaphysical purposes, but it's used in jewelry, vases, bowls, and figurines, and landscaping stone, building stone. So it is a can-do stone. I can do it, like little engine that could sort of thing. It's a stone of vitality and renewal, and that fiery energy, you know, that Aries energy, the fire, and we're going to do it, you know. It's really going to be activated this weekend. You know, our ability to open ourselves up to knowing, okay, creating confidence and capability where it's needed, used to regain physical strength when recovering from illness or injury. And I see it correlating with the horse that I talked about too. And you wear it and you have it near you when you're sick or you have an injury to restore libido, even says, or to find new inspiration for creativity. So it has a lot of the things that have to do with the hippocampus that I've been talking about, but also has to do with the horse. So it's particularly supportive for those who work long hours and stuff. So seeing that Aries energy too, that fire energy, it's a protective stone used against theft, fire, and lightning strikes. It's good for use in travel, especially against traffic accidents. And it absorbs electromagnetic smog and guards against environmental pollution. Tape to cell phone protects against emanations. And it may be made into elixir to drink or used in absolutions by soaking stone fragment in demineralized water overnight. And it's highly beneficial for fighting eczema, rosacea, juvenile acne, and other skin problems. And adventuring is ideal for soothing quick tempers or brutal temperaments. You know, controlling the emotion, balancing the emotion, like I was talking about in the hippocampus. And we can greatly diminish the effects of domesticity. So a dish of red adventurine creates harmony between siblings and is good crystal to wear or carry when organizing a children's party or attending family events. So, you know, they even have a thing at the end here about therapies. So this is crystalvaults.com/crystal-encyclopedia/adventurine-red. So, you know, there are stones for people that are having a little bit difficulty with it or haven't quite opened themselves up. But it's important that we don't rely on stones. We learn to control. It's all about us being in control and taking that back and being in our power. And that Aries energy is strong and putting us into that. You know, I was saying to people yesterday to pray for the families, you know, of that airplane that disappeared in Malaysia. You know, it's important that we stand together and we feel for each other. You know, we can do it. It's just about having faith in yourself and having, you know, going within and feeling good and loving yourself. It's important that we don't let the behavior of others destroy our inner peace, you know. When we have peace and tranquility around us, it tends to influence other people around us. That sense of connection to source, to God, doesn't come from religion, even though religion was created to keep us within that realm. But it comes from our connection to other people and our kindness to other people. And, you know, it comes from a lot of different places. You know, there's so many different things that we could do for the earth. You know, so many different things we could do for other people. You know, people shouldn't, in this polaric place, why are there people that have billions of dollars and people, you know, that are starving? You know, there's conflict right here. You know, to me, in fifth dimensional consciousness, we can shift things, we can do things. We have heaven here. Sometimes the long way home can be long, but it can be the right one. Say that every path takes us all to oneness, and there's only really one path. But everybody has their own way, okay? It's important that we acknowledge who we are, that we're beings of love and light, and I'm praying for a gentle awakening and for the oneness, and that people have more awareness of who they are. And it's important to feel like you belong. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't think I belong, and I can't do this. We all belong. We're all part of the oneness. We're part of the earth. Greet the day and say, I belong. You know, some of us are divergent. We're different, but we're all aspects, a lot of different things. In the moment, we have things come to us that we need in the moment, and it may make us more versatile, you know, and creative. We have that creative energy within us, but we also have that manifestation energy. We may be different in some ways, but we're really, when we come right down to it, really all the same. So taking the divergent path means leaving the past behind. Go with the flow. Don't be left behind or hit with a tidal wave. It's about hopping onto that wave and going with the flow, with the energy. You know, there's new energy. You're feeling the pulse, some of you anyway. And that's why I'm doing this show, so you have understanding. And, you know, some people say, you know, they hear the sound. You know, I know people wake up in the morning and they say, I hear the sound of silence. I actually feel, you know, pulse of life. You know, it's really not a sound. It's just a frequency. You know, I was talking about paradox yesterday. It's paradox is to love someone you can never be with, but at the same time, we're all one and we're always in each other's hearts. And, you know, the greatest minds are just living their lives and making their mark and manifesting to create beauty and love within the human collective. They're recreating the reality, you know, behind the scenes. And it's all about clarity of thought, balance, and love right now. You know, to see wonder in everything you do, like the child-like innocence. So, you know, that's what I feel. Let me just see what else I can say. So I sometimes multitask and simultaneously do energy work, and I'm dreaming and I'm having visions at the same time. Not everybody is wired to do that, but, you know, do the best that you can do with what you have, okay? I'm not an Olympic athlete, but, you know, I've done sports and stuff, and I'm good at them, but, you know, I save that for the people that have the focus to just concentrate, you know, on doing that. It's a time of truth, speaking truth, and secrets being revealed. It's just the way things, the energy is going. In these times of truth and knowing who we are, you know, I was mentioning yesterday on the show that I did yesterday, there was a lady with dementia. She wrote a story because she didn't want to be forgotten, and she wanted to remember who she was. So it was her way of reminding and remembering herself. I really hope this energy shifts and Alzheimer's really changes. And when we release a lot of that karmic energy within us, I think things will really change. And right now, coconut oil is helping stave off Alzheimer's and people's problems with their memories. You know, there's different parts of our bodies that are reflective of what's going on around us. And there's animals that are reflective of who we really are and what's going on around us, too. So this cardinal cross, some people see it as sort of like a judgment day, but there are other aspects that are going on at the same time. I'm going to talk about it on another show as we get closer to that time. There's an article, there's a bunch of articles about the Aries new moon that's coming this weekend. And let's just see right now. There's this one on www.opednews.com/articles/ The Cosmic Story, Aries, by Kathy Lynn Pagano. And it's talking about the new moon of 2014, Aries new moon, that's coming up this Sunday. I think that's the 30th. Well, today is the 28th, so yeah, it's 30th. I don't want to read the whole thing. You can go and read it for yourself. She talks about the fire, the desire, and burn like great fire that stretch out the shadows of things that would cover me beautifully. And the beauty, you know, that creation within the hippocampus that allows us to have that creative energy. The fire and the passion to carry through and get things done. That horse energy that I was talking about, the aventurine stones that allows you to carry through with things. Well, when you release a lot of that energy within you and release a lot of that pain, there's passion and creativity, and you carry through with things. So you don't need to have all those things, but the horse is just representative of that. You know, when I start seeing things around me, it usually correlates with what's going on in an even greater picture to some degree, or with what's going on within humanity. In fifth-dimensional consciousness, we deal with things in the moment. And what people need to know in the moment, too. And I talk about different things on the show for different people. It says, let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. You must just go, no feelings in beauty. You know, you must just go, no feelings is the furthest you can go. Don't let yourself be separated from me. The country called life is close by its seriousness. You will know. Give me your hand before he makes each one. It's about the creative energy. You know, and they talk about being part of Aries, but it's also the balance, the feminine energy. You know, we're balancing the fire energy and the water energy right now. With both the sun and the moon, Aries are really beginning the new astrological year. At the Aries new moon, we set the seeds we planted last winter solstice into motion. So, you know, I was talking about death and then rebirth. I'm seeing a lot of rebirthing energy. I was seeing old energy kind of collapse last week, and I'm seeing new energy starting up. It's like we got a reboot, and it's showing up in the hippocampus in energy and expansion within us, but it's reflected in the astrological stuff. And it says that's what Aries is all about in some ways, motion, where to go, what to do, the eternal internal and external quest for who I am. So it's about knowing, going within, having inner understanding and knowing who you really are and just having that passion and putting it out into life. And as soon as, you know, she talks about the spring equinox, which we've gone through, we just intuitively know the ideas and goals we're mulling over about to move into the world. You know, the knowing, the accessing, tapping into that, just going with the pulse of that energy within the hippocampus that we're feeling it. Life, which is dormant over the winter, is waking up. And each of us has Aries in natal charts, and we have that Aries side to us all. You know, it's all about balancing energy, but it's also having that strength. It says the energy of Mars, who astrologers consider Aries' ruler, which best exemplifies the zodiac sign. Who shapes Aries' purpose for our use? Mars is the archetypical warrior, and each of you will have your own unique brand of warrior depending on where your natal Mars is. I was watching that movie Divergent at the beginning of the week, and what the girl chose for herself, there was different groups. There were the warriors, there were the intellects, there were the farmers, there were the empathetic people. There were a few of them. And then there were people that didn't fit in anywhere. But she chose the warrior, and I saw it this week, so that's amazing that I'm seeing the energy being very powerful this week. But she was divergent, which means that even though she chose to be the warrior, there were very strong aspects of herself in all areas. She was loving and empathetic, and Libra is a strong influence right now, too, the balance of what's fair and what's righteous, what's truth. Since we no longer live the easy life of Garden Eden, though we would begin to create our own earthly version. So when we live it and be who we truly are, we do have heaven around us. If we evolve out of childish self-concern and fear into conscious community, it's not so much that, it's just living with ego, I think, and living in fear, because a child brings out the wonderful parts of ourselves, too. We're smart enough, we can emotionally mature enough, only time will tell. So this warrior energy moves through all of us, and the best and brightest warriors are the protectors and defenders. But I'm also seeing the tribe mentality break up. You know, we're all one. We're not just, we're part of a whole. But we're not, you know, just this person or that person. We're one, okay? And I guess this is a time of courage, it's a time of truth, but it's also a time of oneness. We're coming together and at the same time expanding, and we're evolving, we're changing, we're becoming what we used to be, okay? And it's all about that energy right now. Let me see what else I can talk about, just if I quickly have some time here. I just have a few more minutes. Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about sabotage. I forgot about that one. I wrote something on my Facebook wall today. Carol Guy talks about my Facebook thing at the beginning of the show. Sabotage, especially when it's directed at others, is not a positive thing. It goes against our very nature and happens because of dualistic nature of 3D consciousness. And now I'm basically talking about somebody in a different consciousness, 3D. People might not be aware of it on a conscious level, but on a much deeper level, they are totally aware. Many people have hidden agendas, and they keep it secret that they would do anything to get ahead, even hurting other people. This has to do with materialism and 3D ego consciousness, but it's just part of the consciousness. When the dollar becomes more important than people in our lives, then there's a shattering of all that is kind and empathetic towards others. I pray that people see that others are important, see that we're all, you know, much more than just, you know, materialistic, ego-driven people. We're much more than that. Oh, it's really funny. I wanted to talk about where the word sabotage came from, because I was looking it up just before the show, and it kind of made me laugh. Well, anyway, sabotage is a deliberate action aimed at weakening a policy or a corporation through subversion, obstruction, destruction, or underhand tactics. You know, the movie Divergence, that's what actually they were doing by actually dividing people, and they were controlling them. Anyway, in the workplace setting, sabotage is the conscious withdrawal of efficiency, generally directed at causing some change in a workplace conditions. And one who engages in sabotage is a saboteur. Saboteurs typically try to conceal their identities because of consequence. Anyway, this word comes from the Netherlands in the 15th century when workers would throw their sabots, which are wooden shoes, into the wooden gears of the textile looms to break the cogs. I guess that's what they call them. Clogs too. I just got that. Fearing the automated machines would render the human workers obsolete, then it derives from the French sabot, a wooden shoe or clog. Might have to do with the Flemish, you know, definition of them. My grandmother was from Belgium and Flemish, so she spoke that language. And via its derivative, saboteur, to knock with a foot or work carelessly. That it derives from the late 19th century slang word of the word sabot to describe unskilled workers, so-called due to the wooden clogs or sabots. Sabotage was used to describe the poor quality of such workers. Luddites and radical labor unions such as Industrial Works of the World have advocated sabotage as a means of self-defense and direct action against unfair working conditions. But I just wanted to mention that because I kind of thought it was funny. So, sabotage, there was something, I wanted to talk about the number 44, because I was getting that number a lot, and apparently 1144, now they're saying they don't think it's safe, that site, but let me see if I can find something else on it. I didn't want to... where did I put it? I think I put it in my book here. Yeah, I did put it in my book. Anyway, 44. I was seeing the number places at the same time. And it was like seeing the four corners and the gateways opening up. So it had just something to do with that. But this sacred scribes angel numbers.blogspot.ca, it talks about the vibration of four, magnifying energies and influences. And it says four resonates with the attributes of support and stability, establishing solid foundations for the self and others. So I'm seeing this now, I guess. And willpower and effort, carrying through with things and being worthy, and hard work and achieving success and wholeness and inner wisdom. Number four is associated with our passions and drive that have to do with creativity and manifestation with this creative energy, this creative feminine energy that's been suppressed for so long. So this must symbolize that energy that's stepping forward. It asks that you pay attention to your intuition and inner wisdom. I guess it means your knowing that goes beyond clairvoyance or, you know, has to do with third eye. But it has to do with, that horse aspect of the self, the wisdom as your connection with your angels and the angelic realms is strong. So you're getting guidance and help from the angelic realms. You're encouraged to continue on your current path as your drive and determination will lead to success and fulfillment. So that's all good stuff. So all good energy. Isn't that funny that I was getting sabotage stuff? Oh, also I wanted to talk about Cyprus. And the show is going to be going very, very quickly. So I just want to, to talk about this really quickly. And the Cyprus. I was seeing something to do with, I was seeing mothers being used and their babies taken away from them. And, they're doing this in slave labor camps. And people aren't acknowledging it. And people are going missing, especially women. So the women and child energy is being suppressed. There's something within us. And we've got a balance to release this energy. But I was seeing as Cyprus, I was seeing this, and it's been used as the symbol of death, but we're somehow this death is happening, and there's some type of rebirth. It has to do with, somebody has a loose bowel movement, it starts constipation, and it helps retention of urine if you're having problems with retention of urine. The ground nuts and drank with wine are useful. Those having problems with dysentery or having chest wounds, the leaves crushed and placed on fresh wounds, wield them and restrict blood. You know, this is what they used during the Dark Ages and before they had medicines. The doctor and writer Andres Laguna also writes about this tree. It's an ancient cypress sacred to Pluto, and therefore scattered branches were often used at the gates. A certain resin distilled from the tree, similar to Larkinia, was very sharp and boiling to the taste. So acids, glycaric and glycolic, it's rich in essential oils. So, please read a little bit more about that, but I'm getting that really for the disease of the legs and the circulatory system and varicose veins and stuff and phlebitis and hemorrhoids and different things like that. That's what it's used for. So www.botanical-online.com/Cyprus. And I was also getting stuff about the willow. And apparently they make wooden shoes they made them out of European willow. And the willow is used, it's like acetylsalicylic acid, aspirin. Oh. Somebody, people are actually writing in the chat room now. I hadn't gone there for a while. There's not much time left here. Diane is very connected to the energy of humanity. And what happened? It's a thing. You appreciate what I'm doing. I'm also redoing this show, and I'm putting more information, but I was talking a lot about what I did on yesterday's show so people would have understanding. Yeah, there's a lot of galactic alignments happening right now and gateways opening up, and there were systems crashing, but they rebooted up, and some of the dark energies had to be integrated, and they were causing some problems, but we got it under control. It's important that we be in our bodies right now, and so, you know, we have control. Where are that horse energy? I was seeing a lot of things, too, about loss and people feeling loss and it being a difficult time because so many people are choosing to go. And, it was actually something to do with the dark energy. But, being honorable and also being balanced is really important right now. Living in high integrity is important right now. But, you know, some people were taking in the dark-like energy, so they were maybe acting a little bit different than they were. But, you know, it's just an aspect of ourselves. And, it's important that you be aware of that so you don't do anything you don't want to do. I was talking about paradox here and extremes. But when we have balance within us and we balance this energy, we really become who we truly are. It's important that we have balance and peace within us because the adrenal glands, when they get overactivated, they actually cause the hippocampus to shrink. And it's important that we don't allow that to happen right now because it's something that's really changing and the energy is going to allow us to have strength and, you know, connect to that knowing. So, and it's, that's why it's so important, I should stress again, that we stay within our body to have that energy flowing within our body all the time. And it's all about balance. You know, people are seeing it's still snowing and the weather is still cold out there, but it's balancing the weather. It's I know it's hard to understand, but there's balance going on and alchemy of change that's really big right now. You know, I was seeing, I just want to end the show off. Yesterday, I was seeing this person's name and somebody wrote me and told me that somebody on my wall was really this other person, and it was the name I was seeing. So it's important that we trust our knowing and trust who we are, feelings. I was getting some feelings about somebody the other day, and I was really, you know, my feelings were right. What we create within us is manifested around us. Anyway, it's time for me to go now. And everyone take care, and I will be back next week, Thursday at 11 a.m., for Fifth Dimensional Living, okay?
Thank you for listening to Fifth Dimensional Living with your host, Diane Bachberger, bringing awareness to our world of greater love. For more information on Diane, please visit www.facebook.com/dbachberger1. May your heart and minds always be open to experiencing a greater world.